Blog Talk Radio.
Wake Up America and Face the Dragon Lawrence Live. I'm your co-host today, Reverend Victoria Lee Scott. Once again, right off the bat, I would like to thank you all for your continued archive listens and support and passing it on to your friends and family, what we do and what we're saying. It is very interesting times that we live in, and I'm very happy for all the wonderful support that Lawrence and I continually get doing what we do here. And our goal in broadcasting is to be the leading voice of the people for the backlash movement against government control over the nation's freedom and to secure the blessings of liberty that will restore traditional American values that we fought to preserve for the last 200 years. The pivotal tide of politics has occurred. The radical deviation from the Constitution by both political parties eradicates our rights as free citizens, which cannot be tolerated any longer. Therefore, we choose to voice our political disdain each and every Monday and Wednesday at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio, as long as we still have the right to do so. The authoritarian governmental ideology that is being implemented in America today, as the people can now witness for themselves through rules, regulations, and even the law, and taxes, and higher gas prices, and everything else that's going on around us. At long last, for all utopian dreamers will put an end to the liberty from governmental control that they sought after for decades. The Obama administration's approach to politics will resonate with the people that have had enough of lies, cheats, and the politically correct cowards in those elected offices. In Lawrence's new upcoming book, Wake Up America, Face the Dragon, the only thing left out is the N, because we have no more time for N. The name of the book, which should be in our hands very soon, is Wake Up America, Face the Dragon. And in that book, there is a chapter in Justice for All, which provides glaring proof of how our Constitution is being destroyed by injustice within the justice system itself. Lawrence's forthright writing style and his communication skills, along with mine, will open up the eyes and the ears of those who are afraid to face the dragon of liberalism that is devouring decency, freedom, and individual liberty in America. Lawrence has endeavored to write and continues to write our country's political truth using his God-given common sense that we all possess. And again, welcome to Wake Up America and Face the Dragon, Lawrence Live. I am your co-host, the Reverend Victoria Lee Scott. Today we're going to share a little bit from Mark. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. As I shared on Monday's show, I was going to take my own meditations and bring them forth to you rather than reading them from anywhere. So today is the first day of that, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed writing it for everyone. In order to reach out, we must allow the Spirit to dwell within and let it touch us. We are of no use to ourselves, others, or the Father if we are running ourselves ragged. We think that in order for us to be useful, helpful, or of service, that we must give out all to all the time. But what we may not understand is that there are times when saying yes causes you to make unnecessary sacrifices. In the book A Course in Miracles, there is a passage that says, giving of yourself to the point of sacrifice means the other person is a thief. I kind of like that, and I wanted to just share that. When we allow others to take what we need, what we have earned, and what we deserve, we are making a sacrifice. And when we sacrifice, we are not giving freely. And when we give beyond what we are capable of, we become resentful. We resent ourselves, and we resent the one who has received. Resentment has no place in our lives, and it destroys our self-worth. In order to support others, give to others, we must first be able to serve, support, and give to ourselves. We must be willing to share our overflow, not our necessities. Sometimes we don't realize that we allow others to be involved in crimes against us. We may allow them to support us in sacrificing ourselves and believing that we are helping them. Let's become aware of what kind of yes person we are. Let's start by taking care of ourselves. Don't give what you don't have or what you need. Let's try to be self-supportive and self-loving enough to say no. Try to be still enough today to feel the love of our spirit and to allow it to touch you. And that is Victoria's voice today.
Very good.
Good afternoon, honey.
Now, that's great. Very good. I appreciate it. Good afternoon. And good afternoon to all our listeners.
Now that we know why we're here, and I've delved that to, Victoria's little voice there, and it's finding its way, as will our newspaper on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just throw out to our listeners, our website is www.wakeupamericaandfacethedragon.com. Also, all of the radio shows are on demand, and you can listen to any of them. Also, if you want to talk to Lawrence, you can email us at slayer@wakeupamericaandfacethedragon.com. So, what's going on, Meg? What do you got?
Okay, well, my monologue goes right along with what you just said.
Does it really?
As usual, we are.
Well, I like Mark. I liked Mark, the simple sentence that filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and just touched the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes if we have that much contentment inside of ourselves, just the mere reach of our hand is our overflow and an extension of, which.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah. Nice.
Mysticism is what it is. To all the listeners, I wish you peace to find your inner self and your inner joy. And openness, actually. Be open. We thank you again for listening to our show, because as you listen, we're building a relationship. We're building a mystical kindred with each other.
I was just going to say something. No, go. I don't want to throw you off. I'll share
okay.
it after. I want
listeners to know this fact, that it takes me several hours to research, to formulate, to write notes, which I use to compose the show. It's not, you know, it's not just you just sit down and start talking. I mean, there's a lot of work involved in doing one of these shows the way we want to do it, to get a message out. I just wanted to share that with you.
Well, it's true, because, you know, I took Justin into the school at 7 o'clock this morning, and I came home and I said, well, I think now's a very good time for me to write what I wanted to do.
Right.
And little did I know that within an hour, the school would call and our daughter would come home with a 101 fever.
Right.
So I'm just glad that I took that moment when it was like, okay, do that. I mean, as much as I wanted to get back into the bed for another hour,
right.
I was able to write this, because then I had to go to work, but it worked out perfectly. So.
So I wanted to share that with you, and then it takes another hour for me sitting here at the telephone and to articulate any points that I feel pertinent that you would enjoy listening to. So the point here is I am giving of my time. I'm giving to you as a gift is what it really is. And it is a special thing when you give somebody your time. What I want you to realize is that in giving, you listeners are receiving, and this is basically what you could call a dance of creation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it is.
We
are dancing. So what I'm going to, but in the dance, what I'm going to ask from you listeners is to participate in the dance and our relationship by just telling one other person about the show.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot to ask, and there's no guilt trip here. I want you to understand this. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for you to tell but one person. Tell a neighbor, tell a relative, whoever you think might enjoy listening to what I have to say.
Because, you know what, I feel we have to go there. A new direction has to emerge, and I know in the time and timing it will. Isn't it interesting, right before the election, how many new books were coming out and being sold? Everybody had a new book.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when the last time you heard a new author coming out?
Mm-hmm.
None of them want to say anything right now.
Right.
So there's no one. But all before the election.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I'm like, my gosh, it's flooded with new books. Everybody.
But it was all the big shots,
But it's just very interesting how since there's not so much of the new books hitting shelves.
And another reason that I ask this of your listeners is because it allows you to be a part of this show. You realize if you tell somebody else, you are then participating in the dance. And then so will they. In the it's interesting too, because in the Hindu faith, let me say it this way. In the Hindu faith, there's a universal law of giving and receiving. And we do have a large number of listeners from India. And I really love the Indian people. They are the sweetest, nicest, most well-mannered race I have ever known. When I grow up, I am going to be an Indian. I even like the way they talk. I see the way they talk. Okay, Deepak Chopra, in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, I mentioned it before, writes the universe operates in a dynamic exchange of giving and receiving. They're different aspects of the flow of energy in the universe and by our willingness to give that which we seek, we keep the abundance of the universe circulating in our lives. I really like what he, because he's spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, so therefore, to keep the energy flowing, this is why I ask the listeners to tell but one person about the show.
Right.
And like I said, there's no guilt trip. Only you will know. This is the greatest part about it. Only you will know what you have contributed. We'll never talk about how many people listen to the show because I don't think it's appropriate.
Right.
Whether it's one or 100,000, it makes no difference.
And you know what? It that's just how we are, Lawrence. I don't check and see how many people are listening in. You know, it's nice when I go in the week and see what our ratings are. That's part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
But during when we do the show, you know what? One or 100,000.
Makes no difference.
The words do not change.
Right. The words do not change. Exactly. See, because all of this is not about numbers. It's about growth.
Right.
We are here to grow. So be part of the growth by kindly stepping into the flow and telling just one other person.
Right. Yeah.
In doing so, what you give, you also shall receive. Just a little Indian piece of spirituality. The good, or if you have been listening, you know that I like to rename things so that old stigmas are removed. The good in German is gut, which means God. So I constantly change the name of a bad stigma, just as the leftists do. The good is that which is. The good called himself, I am that I am. Who is all and in all? Symbols of man, or statues as we call them, are perceptions in our mind of who that person or place or thing was and what they represent to us, naturally. The statue of George Washington, let Victoria, she brought up George Washington last week, the statue of George Washington, or somebody like Patton, or somebody like President Obama, then becomes ingrained in our mind, and to it are attached perceptions. Now watch what happens here. This is just a little sidebar that I did off of George Washington just to give you listeners a different way of looking at things. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about changing the way we look at things. Let's say George Washington, for example, was the greatest leader and defender of America, that one of, I should, Dwight Eisenhower also was, but let me just stay with Washington. Excuse me. But to the British aristocracy of the time, they may beg to differ. Their perception of Washington may have been a renegade, a killer of their soldiers, a traitor to the queen, and so on. See, the point is, each of them had their own perception, their point of view. And, oddly enough, neither is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The perception of Americans, in this case, were different than the perception of the British. British aristocracy, especially. Okay. Then we'll take Georgie Patton. Again, Patton was undoubtedly one of the greatest tank commanders and tactical commanders of World War II. In our perception. However, in Montgomery's perception, the commander of the English troops, the tank commander of the English troops, he thought not. And again, neither are wrong. As for the perception of President Obama to over 50% of this nation, he is the smartest, coolest president ever. To those who have that point of view, I have but two words. Clean up your mind, folks. The two words I was talking about is wake up. To those 50% who think he is the smartest and coolest president there ever was, and I'll leave it at that.
Right.
The point here is rather obvious. It's using, you see how I trapped you into thinking that I was going to use an expletive to on those people, 50% of the people. It's human nature. It's human nature to go to the negative. But what I'm sharing is in the opposite direction. That's what I want you to understand. If you think positive, if we think positive, what happens? Positive will follow us. And of course, the opposite or negative is true. To those who hate, they follow the negative. Sorry, I lost my place here. Can I have a cup of coffee?
Yes,
go
for it, honey.
Hang on.
They're not going anywhere.
Our
people are very, very, you know.
Yes, we have a very loyal.
Very loyal listeners.
Incidentally, I stopped the cooking of our whatever we were going to eat because we ran out of time. We'll have it afterwards.
We'll eat it.
Okay. On Monday, Victoria expressed her love for tradition. And I understand it. Actually, I understand it far better than I can articulate, to tell you the truth. Because, I'll leave it at that. Symbols of saints, stained glass windows, paintings of the Last Supper are great, as I share this week, for those who get enjoyment out of them. I do not, because my perception of the divine creator has changed, which is okay for me, and I'm trying to express my point of view to those who understand where I'm coming from. When Victoria expresses her point of view, that's good, and like I said, it's looking at the mountain from two different directions. You see, I am, on the other hand, a maverick. I always have been all my life. I'm a centaur. I'm a mystic. Because it's no greatness. It's because I observe things in a different way. I observe things, people, events, basically through the mind of a child. I've emptied my cup. I have cast asunder symbols which once filled my cup. And at that time, it filled me with contentness. It filled me with good. But hidden deep inside me for decades was another way. And this is what I'm sharing. So I am never at odds with Victoria. Like I said, I understand it better than I can articulate it. And it's not for me to articulate. What I am articulating is a new direction. See, my mission now in life, you might find this a little strange. My mission in life is bringing together all spiritual believers who believe they, listen to me now, who believe they are not superior to one another. Now, there's going to be a connotation in here, and you'll understand it as I say it. So don't jump to conclusions or I'm going to trick you again. But all I am saying is the same thing that has been said for thousands of years, only I'm saying it in a different way. I am saying it in the vernacular of today. And another thing that I'm saying is, if there is a faith which propagates the destruction of another faith, we are in opposition to one another. You see, because everything, as I've said hundreds of times before, in the universe is one. We are not separate. Quantum physics has proven it. We are all the same. You want to talk about equality? So what I am saying here is, if all creation is made up of the same matter, and it's been proven by quantum physics, the question I have for a faith that believes in killing another because they are superior, what then do you do with physics?
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain it? Because here's my little question for you. Because if you fight against it being the fact of quantum physics and the fact that everything is connected, and you deny it, in doing so, you're indicating your lack of knowledge. You're indicating your lack of knowledge of the truth by indicating that you are superior. Conversely, if you accept the fact that we are all connected and everything is made of matter and still believe that you're superior, then you're nothing more than a hypocrite.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
So which is it? And if you are of a faith, you know of whom I am speaking. I need not mention your faith. I'll leave it at that. And I digress. Buddhism, much like Hindu and also Christian spirituality, not religiosity, and philosophy, all, as I've said many times, are saying the same thing. And I find this interesting that the Buddhist practice is called Tantra. And this absolutely blows me away, because the word Tantra means to weave. Thousands of years before physics was discovered, and physics is described as waves which weave. If you ever saw I forgot where I was. I lost my place. Hang on. So Buddhists named it to weave. And this is the practice they follow. And it's interesting that to weaving, like a basket or a piece of fabric, is exactly like the fabric of the universe. If you ever observed a science model of the fabric of space-time on, you know, the Disney Channel, not Disney Channel, but the Learning Channels, whatever it is, Discovery.
Right.
Discovery Channels have shown models of the fabric of space, and it looks like a basket being woven.
Mm-hmm.
So how did they know? Thousands of years before. And isn't it odd that physics are coming up with the same models of the words that they use to practice their faith? They probably receive the message from the unmanifest by being still. The information is that we receive comes from pure potentiality contained in the ether space. Ether space is a long explanation, and I'll get to it someday, but not now. The information, they probably tapped into the information by being still. The information then automatically is absorbed in our mind. Where once you emptied your cup, this is where new and exciting thoughts are formed. One other thing. These new thoughts, when you get them, require what is called in quantum physics a quantum leap.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Victoria's snickering already because she knows where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Victoria and I call this a leap of faith,
yeah,
which we took 17 years ago. And at the time, we were on a journey. We all are on the journey. But we decided at the time that we would take this journey together. And I'll tell you what, we would not trade the journey that we took for anything.
Mm-mm.
For all the gold, all the king's gold, we would not trade. Wait a minute. Would you trade it for one of President Obama's vacations?
No.
No. Close, though. All of, how about all of his vacations? No?
No.
No, still no. Okay.
Still
no. As to my authority to communicate some of these complex physics I'm going to have, and I was going to read it, but I want you to read it, Victoria. It's from the chairman of the Department of Physics at, of all places, Berkeley University.
Your favorite.
And I want you to read it because I don't want to make it sound like I'm blowing my own horn, right, that I came up with this information.
Sure.
So could you get the book. You know what?
No,
I should have brought the book with me.
Go ahead,
well, down,
you can get it.
Give me a momentito. I'm doing this because the professor pretty much seals our fate. My fate, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it brought me to an understanding of my authority. Where did I get all of this stuff from? You know, I'm not educated.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, well, that's...
Now you are.
Now...
You didn't start out educated. You sure as hell are educated now.
Okay, like I said, this is from...
Honey, there will be a book in your hand in any day.
Yep.
Idiots don't write, I was going to say idiots don't write books, but they do. But I think your book is commendable, Bob.
Thank you. I'm trying to find my place here. Bear with me.
I just can't share with the rest of the world.
This little excerpt right here, because this is what the chairman of the physics department writes.
Our current?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our current struggle with certain aspects of advanced physics may thus only a foretaste of a completely new form of human intellectual endeavor, one that will not only lie outside physics, but will not even be describable as scientific.
So what he's saying, in other words, what he's saying there,
mm-hmm,
is that, I'm going to have you read one more excerpt, and this is from
Lee,
and then I'll explain basically what the hell I'm talking about here.
Yes.
This is from Max Planck, the actual founder of quantum physics himself, and when I read this, I my jaw dropped down to the ground.
Which one, babe?
This what's on the line here.
Science?
Mm-hmm.
science means unresting endeavor and continually progressing development toward an aim which the poetic intuition may apprehend, but which the intellect can never fully grasp.
There it is. What he's saying, what he's saying in other words.
Please.
What he's saying in other words is that, and it's, there's other excerpts that I could read, is that the ones who really understand, the intellect does not understand what I'm saying, believe it or not. You know, if you're thinking that all of the answers to quantum physics are explained best by intellect, the intellectual, you're wrong. That's what he said. This is Max Planck himself. What he's saying is they don't get it. What I'm saying is the reason that I do get it is because I think with the right side of my brain.
Right.
I'm an artist. I'm a poet. I'm an inventor. I have an invention. I am a writer. That all that means, I'm not blowing my horn, all that means is I don't think the same way they do. I think in images.
That's what you've been put in this box for so many years on, because this country needs a different way of thinking.
That's all it is.
A very
honest
man with the experience and knowledge to help with that thing.
That's
you.
Very good. Okay. That's what gives me the authority for it. All it means is I just think in a different way. That's why I found it interesting that when they were trying to come up with the formula for the atomic bomb, and they were researching it, Einstein was the only one that could come up with the formulas for that same reason. He just thought in a different way. You know, and obviously that's...
Obviously, yeah.
That result. You see, the inventors, the intelligent, think with the left side of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Are they extremely intelligent? Sure. So, goes without saying. But like Einstein, and I'm not comparing, saying I'm Einstein. I'm saying we share a kindred in the fact that we think with the child's mind.
Right.
And that's all I'm trying to do in sharing what I share with the listeners. Do you get that?
I get it.
Okay. Did it make sense?
You share it. Yes. Okay. It does. Yes, it does.
Because like the intelligent, and maybe that's why I stutter so much and stuff like that, because images come to my mind, and I articulate things in a different way so that other people like me, and like attracts like. You want to understand this better, what you can do is go to my blogs and read The 100th Monkey.
Yeah.
The 100th Monkey basically explains what this is all about in a nutshell. And I won't go through it now. See, this all brings me to the intention of my journey. I know in my spirit that there's thousands of mystics out there who then can see what I'm saying with the mind of a child. And the interesting part about it is, you may not even know that you're one. Since the good often hides it from us. Did for me. For many, many years. He hides the truth deep within our spirit. Then at the time of his choosing, it wells up like a spring. And guess what happens? We awaken from our spiritual slumber. Wake up, America. Wake up all of those who are sleeping that have the child's mind. Who am I awakening? I am awakening those of whom are called to join an army. I could see it now. What? I didn't say join the army. I said join an army. What army? The army that does not use guns. Its bullets are conscious awareness. We are all connected. And the way we can stand up and fight against negative, I won't use any other words, is with the armor of love. Cloaked with the armor of love. Like I said, I'm not speaking to everybody. Some of you might be saying, yeah, this guy did. Whatever. Whatever adjective you would like to use, be my guest. But I am very serious. What is that dog doing? Stop it, you annoying little squirrel.
She's having
fun. Great old time over there, distracting the hell out of me.
I know.
I'm thinking.
Right?
I said it before, and I actually even wrote a lot of this in Wake Up America and Face the Dragon. This is a spiritual battle going on. I don't want to use an administration. I don't want to use a...
No, but in your knowledge and what you've learned in writing about the politics and everything that you've done in your book, and I'm going to share some stuff today if we have time, you've also been able to bring them together.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, and that we need that. You know, separation of church and state. We understand that. That's not what we're here. That's not what it's about.
You see, this is a spiritual battle to save, thank you very much, to save not just America.
Right.
This is a spiritual battle to save the world before Ahmadinejad blows it up. So I'm giving us a positive rather than negative route here. And the plan I am proposing is thousands of years old. It's not something I just sat down in my chair and said, oh, hey, woo. This has been proposed thousands of years ago. It is nonviolent. It costs nothing. Oh, well, maybe a little bit of your time. And the best part about it is there are literally no defense against it. What do I mean by that? Those who are struggling in fear and in doubt, and they want to fight and they want to take back America, they're going to do it the wrong way. They need to turn around. You see, the enemy... they are the enemy of they who oppose a spiritual move is the enemy that fights against liberty and freedom. But they fight with guns, they fight with killing, and they fight with, worst of all, hatred. They hate spiritual people. However, this is a spiritual battle. How do I know it? I'm going to read a little something for you. For the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers. Listen to what I'm saying. Against rulers, against authorities, and against powers of the dark world. And against spiritual forces of evil. Where? in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realm just means this, not the three-dimensional world. Is it here too? Yeah, of course it is. But the real battle is in space-time. The space within space. Remember, these are rulers like we have. These are authorities like we have. And they are from the dark side. Folks, it only took me 66 years to awaken. To understand what the hell Paul was saying here. Because he was saying it mystically. I already said it many times before. The battle that I'm proposing, the ones that I'm trying to awaken or have awoken, is not for everyone. If it's not you and you don't believe it, fine.
That's okay.
That's okay with me. Mm-hmm. You are where you are. This is this. That is that. That's all there is. If you are where you are, stay where you are. But I am looking to wage a peaceful, spiritual war against wickedness. All of us, when we come together, at some point, time I do not know, epochs I do not know, as we come together, we will form up, like in the 100th monkey, please read it, we will form up into what they call a critical mass. This is from science. I didn't make this stuff up. When we form up into a critical mass, the enemy shall be defeated, just like that. Do we need to pray or get on our knees? No. You know what you need to do? Nothing. So what am I saying? Be still. Be solitary. Go listen to the sound of a brook. Observe a rose.
It does kind of go right back to the beginning of what we shared about the self, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's nice all about it's all about the self.
Nicely done.
Well, okay, I'm done. So what are you doing?
Nicely. Well, there's a few things. I didn't know if you want to hit. I find it very interesting, very, very interesting, that China has found a brutally simple way to steal corporate secrets. Now, this
leave
is
it
being,
to the Chinese.
Yeah, and this is being done by the Chinese Army, appears to be conducting cyber hacking and espionage against large U.S. corporations.
I'm learning that language, but it's hard.
Right, yeah, it's very hard. Okay, so the report even identifies the unit in the building behind the cyber war. So, you know, I can go into so many different stories, but there are so many things going on we also have North Korea threatening to totally attack South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all of a sudden these rare planes are being used by Iran's Islamic revolution. So we're trying to figure out where all this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Russia's moving in. I think the chessboard, the players are all shifting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice and quiet because this has been planned for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal in all of this, I mean, there is really, really just a lot going on. I mean, I can go on as far as what's in the news. I can go on, you know, all day. But I'd rather not do that. I'd rather go back to the history and the education of this country because that's what I think we have to keep bringing forth.
Okay.
You know? So I am actually drawn after everything we did today to share.
It's a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, don't you think?
Yes.
But, you know, they're your writings, and, you know, the Federalist papers that I have here are very interesting, but it was two things. I was actually drawn because I wanted to read a little bit of Saul Alinsky, if we have time.
You do that, because you know what? That Federalist paper is not something that you could just read it and understand.
Well, it was only a part I wanted to take out. I wanted to just share how you know, in 1787, you know, just a few sentences that it has until lately been a received and uncontradicted opinion that the prosperity of the people of America depend on their continuing firmly united and the wishes, prayers, and efforts of our best and wisest citizens have been constantly directed to that object.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say the political power now appear who insist that this opinion's wrong and that instead of looking for safety and happiness in union, we ought to seek it in a division of the states and distinct confederacies and sovereignties. However extraordinary new doctrine may appear, nonetheless it has its advocates. So my point is, I know, like you said, the Federalist Papers, and they're very interesting, and you do have them up in the Republic, and everybody can go in and read.
The section of the Federalist Papers that Victoria's reading from is attached to, is part of a writing that I did, which is called
The Republic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Posted on our website.
And it's just that in 1787, for him to realize what is happening today is what they were trying to forewarn us about.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, that's what, you know.
Of course, that's why I wrote a lot of it in a different color ink.
Right.
I don't know if it came up like that on the blog, but this is also the Federalist Paper 2. It was written by John Jay.
Right. By John Jay. But I just find it very interesting. And I think that these, to go back and teach these and read from these,
mm-hmm.
I think is very important because it is our history.
Yes.
And you know, we keep rewriting history until it finally says what everybody wants it to say, and there's not much truth in it. And, you know, that kind of really bothers me because, you know, I'm going to go to Lawrence's book, and I'm going to go to chapter 4. And I have to keep going back because one of my favorite things that Lawrence writes about is Saul Alinsky. And I like it because it's such a warning. And everything that he stood for, his book Rules for Radicals, was for anyone who wants to radicalize against. So it just so happens that the counterculture revolution of the 1960s kind of adapted that as their guidebook. I truly believe if we take that same guidebook and turn it around, we can make headway. That's my personal. So I continually share what Lawrence writes on Saul Alinsky. Serpent or savior? One could say that desperate times we are experiencing calls for desperate measures, measures which are often outside our human capacity to understand. By this I mean we find ourselves searching for answers to questions we normally would not have thought of asking, for one reason or another. As an example of this phenomena, we may ask, why has the superstar king of conservative talk radio, Rush Limbaugh, focused in on Saul Alinsky? The answer is, of course, because Alinsky was a paramount figure, the battle for the hearts and souls of American traditions. Allow me to explain who he, Alinsky, was, and, more significantly, what he meant to liberalism's anti-American movement. Born in 1909 to Russian Jewish parents in the windy city of Chicago, home of the thugs, sorry, I had to throw that in there, Saul Alinsky quickly became the definitive instrument in developing political tactics which were adopted by postmodern leftist extremists over the next 5 decades. And now, the fruit of his brilliant tactical methodology has reared its ugly head on the streets of New York and throughout the nation as demonstrators activists use his rules, once again, to promote liberalism's idea of an omnipotent federal empire. However, the former is disguised under the guise of progressivism. The latter actually possesses authoritarian power over a once free people right now. Though odd as this may sound, Alinsky wrote his rules for any radical, for those who are either left nor right, whom are in opposition to governmental tyranny and its power-crazed autocrats in control of the masses. I'll elaborate further shortly. So I like sharing that.
It's interesting, too, because a lot of the talk show hosts misconstrue what Alinsky was saying.
Right.
They label him as a communist, which he was, but what he was saying is... That's not what he wrote the book for.
Right.
He said he wrote it for anybody who wants to overthrow the power
And that's what I think. I truly believe that if we adapt the 13 rules, right, and turn them around and use them,
mm-hmm.
we can be just as effective, if not more effective, than they were.
Okay.
I believe that they are...
Read his rules.
Well, I need the book, because you don't have them in here.
Oh, it was supposed to be opening page of that. I hope it went to the publisher that way.
Oh, I hope
there it is right there.
Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. Ah, scared me.
The first page. Because in the article, I go on to say... memorize these rules.
Exactly. So, Saul Alinsky's, we have enough time to read the 13 rules for radicals. 1, power is not what you have, but what your enemy thinks you have. Can we adapt that?
Of course.
Okay. 2, never go outside the experience of your people.
As ever.
And that's why?
That's what did Obama just do? He put up that boob for,
right?
I forget his name.
Boob, how many of them?
Yeah, they're all boobs.
3, whenever possible.
Schmucks.
Go outside the experience of the enemy.
Absolutely. Keep them all balanced.
4, make the enemy live up to their own book of rules.
There you go.
Now, ask the question. And, you know, I've just seen, just to throw in here, that in New York, they are all over the buildings with huge, huge banners
mm-hmm.
condemning the news media for not telling us the news.
Right.
It's the first time I've seen that. Big, huge banners today on the building. The backlash. The backlash. I'm serious.
Yeah.
And they have I saw that today. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that comes around.
Good news.
5, ridicule is a man's most potent weapon.
That's exactly what the left use. Ridicule.
Exactly. 6, a good tactic is one that your people enjoy.
It's the best.
Right? 7, a tactic that drags on long drag.
It's a drag, that's right.
8, keep the pressure on. That's us. Yes. 9, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself.
That's very, very true.
Remember that.
Very true.
Right? Okay, 10, the major premise for tactics is the development of operations that will maintain a constant pressure upon the opposition. Don't give up, people.
Yep.
Like Lawrence asked, one person tell one person.
One
that's
person.
All we're asking.
That's all we're asking.
That's all we're asking. And if you push a negative hard enough, deep enough, it'll break through into its counter side. That's what we're going for. 12, the price of success attack is a constructive the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Like just what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And 13, pick the target, freeze it, polarize it, personalize it, and polarize it. That's what we're here to do. I want to thank you all for joining us here on Wake Up America and Face the Dragon Lawrence Live. I am your co-host, the Reverend Victoria Lee Scott. Anything else you want to add, babe?
No.
Say good afternoon, Lawrence.
Good afternoon, Lawrence. Well, just said good afternoon.